It's better to hear them up here than 3 o'clock in the morning next door, but it's all right. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity that I've had to be here this summer and last summer. If you don't really know anything about the internship program, it's awesome. Yeah, we get to work with the kids, and I gain so much experience through their interaction with them than I do in a classroom. And every day, studying with Rusty, like the insights and just the knowledge and how much I grow is far greater than anything I learn in the classroom. So if you don't know anything about it, I encourage you to keep it up, because I know it's made a huge impact on me. I'm glad everybody's here tonight. I'm glad everybody can come together and just worship God, and to know that we have not only our family here, but in this county, that we got young people who love God, and that's awesome. Tonight, I got to start out with a question. Do you feel like God is using you to make a difference? Do you feel like God is using you to make a difference? Or have you accepted the thought that maybe I'm just not good enough? Maybe I'm not important enough or talented enough for God to use me? Or maybe you've adopted the thought to where, you know what, God only uses ministers and elders and deacons and people with titles. And God doesn't use just everybody, only a select few. Does it affect you one way or the other? Do you have any emotional response to whether or not God would use you or want to use you, or if He is using you? Or do you think that God's done making a difference in this world? Do you think that God's already made the difference and now we're kind of just in survival mode until He comes back? We're just trying to hold our own, not really going to grow anymore, hopefully not like lose any more ground, but just to wait it out, cruise control until He comes back. You may be saying, Brian, you're crazy, you're weird, nobody thinks that way. But I know I have in my life. And I feel like if we stop and we look, we live that way. We live to where we don't think God will use us. We don't live to where we think we can make a difference in the world. Yeah, I'm not saying we don't do good deeds every once in a while, but to where we sit back and think, God, use me today. God, use me this week. God, I know you're going to use me. We really just don't think that way. Why? I like to ask the question why. I like to ask a lot of questions. Rusty knows this. And when you ask why to this question, I feel like it's because if God was having a job application, we just wouldn't meet the requirements in our mind. That if we had a fill out to be hired by God, we just wouldn't make the cut, or we feel there's better people than us. So we just don't really put the effort into it. Maybe we stop and we think, you know what, Brian, my past sins, they're too bad. That means I'm not good enough. Or maybe it's even our present sins that we're going through right now, to where I want to be used by God and I want to make a difference in this world, but right now, I just can't do that. I'm struggling with too much right now. Maybe it's our age. Brian, you know, I'm young. I'm still in school. You know, once I get out of school, once I, you know, get a family, then, you know, God's really going to use me there. Or, Brian, you know what? When I was young, I felt like God really could have made a difference. But, you know, now, you know, I'm in my 20s and I'm trying to get a job. Or now I got my family that I'm looking at. You know, once I retire, you know, then God will use me to do great things. Oh, you know what, Brian, you know, if I still had my youth, you know, God would use me. But I'm older now. I'm weaker. I'm physically weak. I just don't have the energy for God to use me anymore. Or maybe it's we're not talented enough. We're not gifted enough. Brian, I look over here and I see this guy and he's good at doing this. And I'm not. I just don't have the gifts. I don't have the talents for God to use me. There's nothing that He can use in my life. I mean, I'm good at doing nothing. I'm good at being bad, you know. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's knowledge. Brian, I just, you know, I'm new to this whole God thing. I'm new. I'm a new Christian. And I just don't know enough about the Bible. You know, you've been, you know, raised in the church. You know all the Old Testament stories and all the scriptures and stuff. And I just don't have enough knowledge for God to use me. Yet when we look throughout all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, none of these do we ever see a list to where this is what you have to be for God to use you. Or this is what you need for God to make a difference in the world. None of that. So what is it? If it's not to where I need to be talented enough, if it's not to a certain age, if it's not to where I need to have a special gift or a special talent, what is it? What is it for me to know that God can use me in my life? What do I need to have? What kind of person do I need to become? And the awesome thing is God's told us. And we find it in John chapter 15. If you will, turn your Bibles over to that. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the four accounts of Jesus' life. It won't be up on the screen, sorry. John chapter 15. We're going to read a little bit and then focus on a couple phrases here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we're going to stop here. And if you missed it, the answer is right there. And it's not to where you have to go and do something crazy or do something to where everybody's going to look back and be like, wow, he did that? God's going to use him now. No, if you look, I want to look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What Jesus is telling us here is if you want to make a difference in the world, if you want me to use you, if people want to look at you and know Christ is doing something with this person, stay close. Because if we look at here, it's speaking in a parable, and the fruit would be God working through us, that God's doing something, he's making a difference. And to have that, without him, we have nothing. But with him, we have a lot of fruit. And he's saying, stay close. Stay close to me. Why? Once again, we have this question. Why? Why is it that we need to stay close to him? How is that going to give us fruit? How is staying close to Christ going to give us fruit? How is that going to make a difference? And the easiest way to say it, it's because the closer you get to God, the less of yourself there's going to be. The closer you get to God, the more God's going to take over your life. The more you're going to give yourself over to him. And people are going to see less of you. That's the key. I was trying to think of maybe a story to illustrate it, and as soon as I did, it popped into my mind. This summer, I have an aunt. She's about 40, and she grew up kind of going to church, but she wasn't really into it. And in our family, there's a lot of different beliefs. And she was kind of just like, you know, if you guys can't figure it out, I can't figure it out. So there's no need to try. So hasn't been to church. And I think she came and heard me preach once, like a couple years ago. But that was like probably it for like 30 years or something, 20 years. And she went on vacation with my mom and my sister. And on that vacation, you know, her and grandma, they were joking, you know, don't let them pull you down the aisle and, you know, to be baptized and all that. And like, so they joke about it, you know, they keep their distance. But on that trip, something happened. She heard the gospel that Sunday because she went to church. She didn't want to be by herself. And throughout that week, she saw my sister just reading her Bible because that's what she does. So she was reading her Bible in the hotel room and it dawned on her that she's missing something. After hearing the lesson and seeing how they were living and how it's not just something that they do once a week, but that they pick it up and read it before they go to bed or throughout the day and just for fun, just to get closer to God, she realized, I'm missing something in my life. And she ended up coming again. I had an opportunity to speak. So she came again, And then she called my mom, and she was like, I think I want to start coming to church with you guys. Which, when I found this out, blew me out of the water. Because you know how sometimes in your lessons, they'll be like, write down somebody that you want to go share the gospel with? Well, she was my person. But with that, there was always tagged on, I don't think this is going to happen. Because if you picked one person out of my family, she would be the last on the list for this to happen. So it totally blew my mind when mom was like, she wants to come, and she was crying, and she really means it. She started coming to church, and she just was on fire. She was reading all the time, asking my mom all these questions. My mom was trying to keep up because she had another study going on, and like she's still going strong, and she was baptized like a month ago. And that's what it is right there. Because as soon as that happened, you know, she had some stresses and some other problems going on in her life, and she had been working for years and years to get over that. But when she found Christ, and Christ became a part of her life, people noticed. My grandma, who, you know, was the one making the jokes, told my mom, she could tell a difference. She could tell a difference that Christ has made a difference in her life. Why? Because the closer we get to Christ, the more we are close to Him, the less people see of ourselves, and then the more they see of Christ. I want to talk to the adults here for a second. So if the kids are, if I'm kind of losing you, you know, this is a time for you to regroup. But adults, here's my parenting advice to you from a child standpoint. Take it or leave it. But your kids need to know, need to see that God is more than a hobby. He's more than a habit. But He is your God. He is your master. He is your friend. He is your comforter, your rock. He is your everything. They need to see that it's not that Christianity is not just about going to church once a week or not doing some sins, but they need to see you being close to God. Not just, okay, all right, we got to go to church today. No. They need to walk into your room and see you reading God's Word. They need to stumble across you praying. Not just before you eat, but just because you want to be close to God. Yeah, kids, we need our parents to be there when, you know, we're playing our games or performing a concert or when there's a problem. But kids need you to be close to God. They need to know that your faith, your love for God is not just a habit or a hobby, but they need to see that intimacy between you and God, that closeness. And when that's there, they're going to see the fruits. They're going to see that He's making a difference in your life, that He's made a difference in your life. Think about it. Has your kids ever stumbled across you reading God's Word in your home? Because if you think about it, I mean, you don't have that many spots to go in your home. So if you do it often, most likely they would have seen you once or twice. Have they? Uncle, aunts, grandparents, whoever has anybody in their home, can people tell that you are close to Christ? Or that He's important? If you talk to Meredith at all this summer, one of the first things you're going to know about her is that she's getting married. Why? Because that's important to her. You're going to know about Ben. I know more about Ben this summer than I did any other time. Why? Because she's in love with him. She's excited to be married to him. Can they see the same excitement, the same love that you have for God? Let's keep on going. We're going to skip down to verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified. How? How is God glorified? By you bearing fruit. Why? Once again, or how? How is it that God's glorified but by us bearing fruit? And the thing is, for us to bear fruit, we kind of have a train of thought going on. So for us to bear fruit, we're close to God. It's not us that they're seeing, but it's Christ. And that's how He's glorified. He's glorified because people don't look at us and see Brian doing a good deed, but they see Christ doing a good deed. Rusty talked about this last week. with, instead of just going and doing a good deed and somebody seeing, oh, I'm doing this, say, I'm doing this because of God. I'm doing this because of Christ. He's our purpose. He's our reason. And we also see in verse 8 that bearing fruit proves that you are a disciple. It proves that you are a disciple. How? Or why? And the reason is, I believe that the church, the world, needs more disciples and not Christians. And what I mean before I get you lost on that is we have a mindset of what a Christian is today, and that's somebody that goes to church once a week. The world views it that way, and many times we view that ourselves. Like, that's what a Christian is. We need disciples. We need followers of God. We need Christians who are truly Christians, who it's not just about going to worship once a week, but it's about being close to God. You're following Christ. You're being close to Him. Only then are we going to make a difference in the world. Only then will we bear fruit. It's not that we have to go do something crazy and, you know, do something profound where people are like, I can't believe Brian did that. No. But when we're close to Christ, there's going to be a change. People are going to notice a difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is one thing that I found as a requirement. And it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Did you notice that last part? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Does that make sense? Because in our minds, it wouldn't make sense. In our minds, we talked about earlier how the stronger I am, the more likely God's going to use me. But that's not what we see in the Bible. We see that when I am weak, then I am strong. When I realize that I'm not good enough, that God is greater than me, then He can use us. He can take us in our broken state and make us into something more than we could ever dream, to make a difference more than we could ever imagine. Why? Because the power, the key is not in us, but in God. When we are weak, then He is strong. That's what I see throughout all the text, is our willingness to let Him use us. Our willingness to realize that God is more powerful than us. In our minds, it's like all about us. It's our pride, our arrogance, or just our thought of, I need to be better, and I'm in control, and it's all about me, and it's not. Look at anybody in the Bible that God's used, and they all come to this, the recognition that God is greater than what I am. I think we have fallen into a false state of what it means to follow Christ. And I touched on this earlier, and I want to keep on going on this. To follow Christ has become a dream and not an action. Is it became part of life and not a lifestyle? Being close to God does not equal going to church once a week. Some weeks I'd come to worship God and, you know, my heart just wasn't into it. I was there, but that was pretty much it. And when I was thinking about the times of my life to where that happened and if that's ever occurred anywhere else in life, and it has, I remember a funeral that I went to of some distant relative. And you may think this is weird, but stay with me for a second. I went to a funeral of a distant relative. I was present. I gave my respects. But I felt nothing. I wasn't close to them. I didn't know them. And then sometimes I find myself worshiping God and I'm present. I'm there paying my respects. But yet, I don't feel nothing. I'm not close to Him. It's got to be more than that. The key isn't being present, but being close to God. Being intimate with God. Well, you may be like, well, you may be in the next category. I'm a good Christian. You know, I'm there 3 times a week. And, you know, I don't break the laws throughout the week. But yet, you're not close to Him. And it's more than just following a set of laws. Because we're going to see later the reason why we have the laws. But it's more than that. The thing we are missing is Christ. I want you to think about somebody who's passed away. I'm sure each and every one of us just felt grief, sadness. Now think about Christ and Him dying. How did we feel? Did we have that same emotional response? This morning when you took the Lord's Supper, did you feel the sadness? Did you feel the grief, the emotion? Because if we're close to Christ, it's going to impact our life. We're going to feel something. And many times I find myself going week after week and, you know, going through the Lord's Supper, thinking about His death and being thankful for it, but not truly being thankful for it. And it takes more than just going through the action to make a difference. It's about being close to God. If at the start you wondered, why isn't God using me? Stop and examine your life. How close are you to God? Are you intimate with God? Do you listen to Him daily? Do you talk to Him? How's your relationship with God? If we keep on going in verse 10 and 11, the last two verses we'll look at. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So we see, this is where I want to talk about the commandments. And when we think of commandments, we kind of get like, we kind of want to back away from it. It makes us a little bit uncomfortable. It's not like, oh great, commandments, you know. Like, it's not a joyful thing to us. But it's just because we view it differently. If we look at commandments and we look at everything God's told people to do throughout the Bible, we realize that it was the best thing for them. That God was telling them, you need to do this because of this. The second one is if you look at what God's asked us to do, everything He's asked us to do, it's because He wants to be closer to you. Think about that. Everything He's asked you to stay away from, everything He's asked you to do, it's because God wants to be closer to you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome that it's not that there's a God who's just making up these rules to where maybe if you break them, He's like, ah, gotcha. No. He's setting these commandments, He's asking us to do these things because God wants to be close to you. Think about it. We're looking at the concept of, all right, Brian, how can God use me? Well, being close to Him, it's going to happen. Everything is about being close, being intimate with God, and yet we overlook that so many times on a daily basis. We don't stop and ask, today, what can I do to get closer to God? Today, what can I do to build my relationship with God? And that's the key, is being close with Him. And we also see verse 11 where it talks about the joy. Our joy being made full. And you may think, well, the misconception sometimes people in the world will have, well, being a Christian, being close to God means there's not going to be pain and there's not going to be suffering. But that's not true. We're going to see that the next chapter over. But it's having a God who's greater than everything that we go through. Chapter 16, verse 33 is one of my favorite verses. And He says, in this world you have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. That's that joy that we can have as Christians, that no matter what's going on in our life, if we're close to God, it's going to be okay. Because we have God, and He's greater than all of that. So tonight, I hope you haven't missed the key thing. And that is, if you want God to do something through your life, if you want God to use you, God, here's my life, use me. Stay close to Him. And it's going to happen. Stay close. Abide in Him. Be intimate with Him. That's the key. If you think back, it's not about doing something great and you have to come up with this great plan, but it's going to happen on a daily basis. And I told the story about my aunt, and I feel like the true thing, the key factor, was her seeing my sister read her Bible at night. And to us, we wouldn't think, oh, that's God's going to do that to change the world. But it is. It's our closeness with God that the world's going to see it, and they're going to get to know God. Tonight, we've talked about being close to God. The relationship with Him is phenomenal. It's awesome. And if you're sitting there and you're like, I'm missing something in my life, just like my aunt was. She knew that I'm just not complete. There's something I'm missing. There's something that has to be greater than me. There is, and it's God. The Creator of the world, the most powerful being thing ever to live, loves you and wants to be close to you. That's phenomenal. When we focus on that and you realize that, other things in life, they're just not as big as we thought they would be. And the great thing about it is it doesn't cost money. There's not an application that you have to fill out to meet these requirements. He's asked you, simple, to believe in Him. To turn away from the old ways. Why? Because He wants to be close to you. Not because He wants to set up some rules to where to not make life fun. No. It's because He's holy. And He wants you to be holy. So you can be close to Him. Because He loves you. To repent of those. To confess His name. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The one that left heaven. Left the presence of God. To come to this world. Not to be rich with money. Not to own a bunch of land. But to be a servant. To die on the cross for you. To be raised 3 days later. Out of the grave to conquer death so that you can conquer death through Him. And you do that by being baptized into His blood, into His death, and being raised in newness of life. To where those things that you've done, those weaknesses, those temptations that you had, those sins, they're wiped clean. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to have temptations. But it's so much better to have a forgiving Father and a mediator and a Savior who loves and cares about you. Tonight, if you push God away and you thought, I can do this on my own, we can't. We're not good enough to save ourselves. It's not about being good, but it's about being saved. So tonight, if you need God, come as together we stand and sing.